Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Saturdays at the Spa with Brian Natto. Saturdays at the Spa is brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, New York's premier wagering site. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The new Capital Mobile app. Wager anywhere, anytime. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play. And Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Good morning and welcome to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Natto with you. Whitney Day here at Saratoga, always one of the highlights of the meet. It's a historic day. It has been for years and takes on maybe a little more significance, certainly this year with the recent passing of Mary Lou Whitney. And so a lot going on here today. I'm going to bring in Nick Zito in a second here, and really thrilled and honored to be joined by him because he has for a long time had a close, tight bond with Mary Lou Whitney. But it is, Mary Lou Whitney Day here today. They enshrined her yesterday. In the Hall of Fame, they dedicated the clubhouse entrance to her. So it takes on, like I said, added significance. And I'll bring in my first guest here today at Saturdays at the Spa, Nick Zito. And Nick, first of all, thanks so much for joining me. And I know, as I mentioned, you enjoyed a long and storied and very successful history with Mrs. Whitney.
Yeah, I did, Brian, and thank you for inviting me today on a special day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whitney Day is special. It always was.
And
thank you.
Recent passing of Mary Lou, and we saw a lot of your quotes as someone that was close to her. Just talk a little bit about her as a person. I think a lot of people know the success she had at the racetrack, but just as a person, how she went about things and your relationship with her.
Well, there's so many things that most people maybe are not aware of. Everything is said about her, and the one thing that I love is that, it's all true.
Yeah.
It's all true. All the great things that are said about her are all true.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny. I was coming over here on the golf cart, and Teresa was driving me over, and we kind of ran into what they call the love man. That's Ronnie Eubanks.
Mm-hmm.
He's a jockey agent. And he was bragging on her, how kind and how nice she was.
Yeah.
This is a jockey agent. Most people know that that's how she was. So anybody that was connected to the racetrack.
Right.
The best way to explain it for everybody out there, your viewers, everything, very rare do you see a 93-year-old rock star.
Right.
Very, very, very rare. You don't see that.
Yeah.
And, you guys, you grew up here, so you know what I'm about to say. You guys eat, drink, and sleep Saratoga.
Sure.
You eat, drink, and, you do everything about the game, and you love Saratoga, whatever. So wherever I go, people know me for being here forever now, I guess. But if I was with her and her husband, John.
Right.
Everybody says, there's Mary Lou.
Right.
everybody else is kind of like, didn't matter if you were, you could be Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Do the same thing.
Yeah.
She was the star of the show.
She did so much for Saratoga, and it's, you find out when you read these things that all the other things, I had no idea she was instrumental in getting SPAC up and running. And you think about the racetrack, but just as a person and the overall what she did for Saratoga over the years, and she lived and breathed Saratoga.
Yeah, listen, I tell everybody as a young guy, I had black hair, and I would come up here and I remember the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one that got the Today Show when things weren't so as good as they are now, and she brought them up here. She did so many things, and from the SPAC to the hospital,
right.
And that's one of the things that's dear to me, because her and her husband John, no matter who it was, I pick up the phone, she was there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's not just for me,
right?
That's just for everybody.
Right.
She'd do whatever she could, the both of us, and that's very dear to me.
Right. A lot of success with Mary Lou Whitney as well.
Great.
As a trainer. We're going to bring up, I guess we'll call it the first big moment. Bird Town in the Kentucky Oaks, 2003, and this was when Mary Lou became the first woman in 80 years to own and breed a Kentucky Oaks winner, coming from the back of the pack with Edgar Prado that day. Yeah. 18-1, I think, so maybe a little bit of a surprise, at least to the betting public.
Well, I'll tell you, she came off a great race, which was the Beaumont 7/8, mm-hmm. and that was, to me, I used to love that, because 7/8 to me is like the best distance to prepare a horse mm-hmm. for a next race.
At Keeneland, right?
Yep, and she... she just, you know, we knew she had the breeding, obviously, to go the distance. Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, Whitney blood. And there were a lot of great fillies in the race, but she just came with her run. And, you know, I was very, very, very thrilled. And that was emotional, too, for me, you know, to win the...
To win that kind of race with Mary Lou. We're going to get to bigger success, but...
Yeah, here she comes. She's coming on the outside, and I'm just saying, yeah, just get closer,
right.
Get closer. And then, yep. And then when this horse came out a little bit, but she had more of a in a tank, and she left that horse behind, which was good.
Cuts right back. We don't have footage of it, but I know just as a handicapper and a fan, cuts right back and wins the one-turn acorn at Gulfstream. That's pretty heady stuff.
No, that was actually at Belmont.
All right, Belmont, excuse me. Yeah, that's
that was quite
a double.
Oh, that was absolutely. And, you know, when you win a race like that for people that have, you know, years and years and years, you know, that's what they mean by the pillars of the turf.
Right.
Breeding, you know, and that's their families. That's a special, special, special day.
Well, let's talk about what I don't want to trump a Kentucky Oaks win, but let's talk about another day. We're going to bring up footage of Birdstone, her half-brother, a year later, which makes it even more significant, another homebred. First winning the Belmont. And that was such a odd moment because, you know, you thwart the Triple Crown bid of everybody loves Smarty Jones.
Right.
And I think, if even possible, Mary Lou, Mrs. Whitney, gained even more adoration in winning because of how she handled it. It was such... I was there as a fan that day, not working in racing. We're going to see Birdstone coming up here again under Edgar Prado. Talk about horse first in the win, but then Mrs. Whitney's handling of a moment that a lot of people didn't really like. Nick.
If you look here, a lot of people blame
Stuart
Elliott that he moved too soon. Well, let me show you something. If you're almost four lengths in front coming for home, which he's going to be in a little while, there are not many horses of that quality, four lengths in front, will get beat. The reason is that's the Whitney blood. That's what they call a mile and mm-hmm. a half. So that came out, that last part. You'll see. He's just coasting in front, Smarty John. He's looking back.
Yeah.
He's looking back. Well, maybe he was looking for Birdstone because he certainly found him. But the moral of the story is, see, he keeps looking back. But the moral of the story is he's trying to say, look, I'm four in front. I just want to see who's coming. He figures he's got it made. But this mile and a half, the Whitney blood, years and years of breeding and preparation,
sure.
hard work. Here's where it came to fruition. Here's what happened, and he just run him down.
And
all that was.
And this was at a time in racing where, you know, everybody clamored to see a Triple Crown. Yeah. It hadn't happened, obviously.
Oh yeah.
And everybody wanted to see it. And here's the winner's circle here with Mrs. Whitney. And it was an odd moment after the race. There was some. Well, there's a lot of disappointment. And I can remember reading her quotes, and you can talk about it, how she was almost sad to win, but it's a great moment at the same time.
She literally apologized.
Yeah.
And, you know, that shows you the person she was. She literally apologized.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm glad today, and Naira's doing a good job, you know, Whitney Day, and of course yesterday they did, a good job with that entrance and stuff. But it shows you the type of woman she was.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a week now. But like everybody says, we should celebrate
right.
her. You know, sad, you know, because you look at
you
things
have to be
like
sad,
that.
Right.
And you hear the things that you just said, Brian. You know, how many people, you know, get, you know, win a race like that and apologize, you know.
Yeah.
And she said she loved Smarty Jones because she thought he was great for what? The sport. And, again, she knows that the game's bigger than everybody.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, he's just a great lady. She brought so much. And, You know, it's funny because she'll never, you know, when they say she'll be missed, well, she's still here.
Right, exactly.
And the things that Naira did was, you know, I'm very happy to hear that.
We've got to bring up the Travers as mm-hmm. well. We're going to show that another odd day at the racetrack.
Yeah,
I mean, I was here as a fan in the backyard. I believe they canceled. You can see how dark it is. Take note, folks, too. When you see them cross the line, you'll really get an idea of how dark it is. And I've got to say, again, as a handicapper and as a fan, this is a phenomenal training job by you.
Thank
because
you.
He did not run between the Belmont and the Travers.
Yep.
This is a heck of a job by you. Talk about the Belmont, well, or excuse me, the Travers.
Yeah, when you have the horse, obviously, and I thought, you know, I told Mary Lou and John, I said, I'm not going to give him any prep race.
And that was a layoff back in those days.
Oh, yeah, it was a layoff in those days. I said, I'm not going to do that. Just train him right up for the Travers. You know, he could do it. And this is probably, if anyone's familiar with baseball and they've watched The Natural, it's the closest thing with the lightning. And
yeah, right. You can see the cars with the lights.
You know, it got dark and this and that. And, you know, it's the same thing. But, you know, he dug down. I had another wonderful...
You got Sir Shackleton, right?
I had another wonderful horse that ran second.
Yeah.
The Cliff Edge, he was a wonderful horse. And, you know, he made a powerful move on the backside. But, you know, again, this horse had tremendous breeding, you know, Birdstone.
Yeah.
He had tremendous breeding. So the breeding, you know, kind of won those two races.
Right.
You know, of course, he did himself.
As
you know.
And Tom Durkin said, little Birdstone digs down. Not the most imposing physical specimen we've ever seen, right?
No. A lot of people thought when he won the Belmont, it was kind of fluky.
Yeah.
So this was vindication for him to win the Travers the way he did.
And a Champagne winner at two, too. So those are three of New York's most significant, you know, three-year-old
races. You
know races.
The other horse that did that? Easy Goer.
Okay. So that's Teddy Company right
that's
there.
That's right.
Yeah.
So just to be mentioned in the same breath is pretty good.
We're going to talk about another horse now. We're going to bring up footage, not owned by Mrs. Whitney, but strutting his stuff here at Saratoga in the Whitney. One of the best and most well-loved New York breds of all time, commentator. He wins the Whitney first time as a four-year-old in 2005. And unlike Birdstone, coming from the back, he will not be hard to pick out where he is here.
Yeah, he's on the lead, obviously. And
beating a horse of the year here.
Yeah, and Gary Stevens, you know, who obviously does a lot of work mm-hmm. here now, television. That was one of the great rides because I said to Gary, I said, you know, his gait, Gary, I think is more important than anything. He agreed, and you could see he went 46.
Right.
And I said, if he's going to hold off St. Liam, we're just going to have, you know, you're just going to have to give him everything he, you know, he can. And Gary rode him beautifully. I think he went 109 and changed. I just kept jumping up and down.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I knew St. Liam was laying second. He was a tough horse, as you know. And he just kept doing this. He just kept giving him his head. Look, 109 and change. 109 and 4.
That is, mm-hmm. As we watch, and that's no disrespect to the horses and now in 2019, yeah. but if we saw that today, the jockey would probably be fired because that is serious time.
No, but if you could see, Gary Stevens was, it's what they call rhythm. I love the expression, horse's gait.
Mm-hmm.
And Hall of Fame jockeys, which he is, he let that horse go to his, you know, his running style, but he let that horse, and believe it or not, Brian, he got 120 by in that race, and he hung on. That was tremendous.
As a four-year-old, and then we're going to show it again now. 2008, folks, as a grizzled seven-year-old veteran now, 3 years later, that's not supposed to happen. That's phenomenal, Nick, to come back 3 years later and do it again.
Yeah.
I mean, again, here he is on the lead.
Yeah, and this time Johnny's riding him, Johnny Velasquez, and he's eight now, if you know what I mean. He's 8 years old. But again, Johnny's like Gary, a Hall of Fame rider, and they know this horse. He is a free-running horse. You see, Johnny's keeps nursing him. He's nursing him. You know, he's saying, let's go. Yeah, let's go, and he's what he's doing. And he's just getting stronger and stronger, and he just loves this. I just love this. This is a great, great race. Great race. Unbelievable race.
And this was a dynamic performance. 3 years later, to win it again, the oldest winner of the Whitney since Kelso did it at eight in 1965. And then we talked off the air, and I don't think a lot of people know this, and I have to be honest with you, I didn't remember this until I looked it up. He tried it. We don't have footage, but he tried it. He ran third at eight to try it one more time.
He ran third at eight, and that day he'd have marched right into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, for sure.
And, you know, shout out to the farmers. They were great with him.
Yeah.
Obviously, when you campaign a horse and let you do that, those are tremendous owners.
Yeah.
Tracy
at 7 years old yeah. to win that kind of race and do it.
8 years old
to do it like yeah. that. It's just remarkable. Before I let you go, we did want to hit on one more thing. You're involved with the Horse Racing Integrity Act. Talk yeah. a little bit about that. I know it's close to your heart.
Well, it's funny. Stacey Hancock read this beautiful letter, 2013, that Mary Lou wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And she just, you know, thought this was a great idea because we have to, you know, help our horses, help our industry,
yeah.
help the people that work there. And, you know, we could be here for hours, Brian, but, you know, when you know how many jobs are involved in this sport.
Right.
And I'm just, you know, for me, I just think, well, let's just try to, in any way we can,
mm-hmm.
we need to just show them, the right. outsiders, that we are trying as hard as we can. And no matter how you look at it, well, I don't care really what groups are this or what groups are that. And you might say, well, why is that? I said, look, I know one thing. It's a Democrat and Paul Tonko. It's a Republican and mm-hmm. Andy Barr. Let's just see when this whole thing plays out. Mm-hmm. Let's see what can actually help our sport.
Right.
Because to me, you know, again, when people ask you, what do you always say the game's bigger than everybody? Well, if there's no game.
Right, if without.
Yeah. You know, so I'm just looking at it that way. And I think if more people look at it a certain way, and it doesn't have to, you know, we could go on and on with the LASIKs, no LASIKs.
Right.
That's not really the whole picture.
Sure.
There's more to it.
Yep.
And I think now it's time that people need to address it, see what happens, and because there's 38 different states.
Right.
You know, to run mm-hmm. racing, and they go this way, that way,
yeah.
this way. Again, not to bore you with this, but if you get a violation in some state, you can give, like when I say an aspirin, you know, this or something, and you could get, they want to send you the same thing. Then you could go to another state, you could have, like, say, an aspirin, and they give you a fine.
Right.
Well, don't you think by now every rule should, I mean, I don't
yeah.
know if football, if the Patriots are allowed to do something somebody isn't,
right.
or the Yankees are allowed to do something somebody isn't, I just think it's time for something and a commissioner for sure.
Governing body or something like
that. Listen, I know one thing. We need someone, a commissioner, period. And that's the way we're going to be like the other sports.
Yeah, you can't really, you can't think of another sport that where everybody kind of goes
we're
their
the
own
only
separate
one,
ways.
Don't have
the
one.
Only one, yeah.
But anyway.
Nick Zito, I want to, first of all, thank you. We've got a gift certificate. Jacob and Anthony's
you.
In town. I know you know town quite well. So,
oh, my God.
$100 gift certificate.
Oh
we thank them
thank
over
so
at
much.
38 High Rock. Hall of Famer through and through here, folks. Nick Zito, not only steeped on Whitney Day for many different reasons, his relationship and longtime bond with Mary Lou and then of Mrs. Whitney, and, of course, a two-time Whitney winner himself with the great commentator. Nick, a real pleasure.
Thank
I thank you,
you
for
sir.
Taking the time,
no, thank you.
Too, as
no,
well.
Thank you.
Enjoy it. It's a celebration today. Enjoy Whitney Day. We thank you very much. So it'll bring us to our first break on Saturdays at the Spa. Thank you again for Nick Zito for stopping by. When we come back, Travis Stone, voice of Churchill Downs, is going to join us. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Bob Bob. These two arch rivals head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Now it's a global series. The best racers from all over the world, the best trainers, the best jockeys.
You can get a free entry into the Breeders' Cup, and everybody wants to run in a Breeders' Cup race.
You get your travel expenses paid for the Breeders' Cup.
Automatic berth takes a lot of pressure off.
If we're considering two different races, and one was a win and you're in, and one was not, that would be the tiebreaker.
It's probably the best thing that's happened to racing in the last 10 years.
Breeders' Cup Challenge, win, and you're in.
Welcome back to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Natto with you. And again, a very, very heartfelt special thanks to the Hall of Famer Nick Zito, taking the time on a Saturday morning to stop by, reminisce on Mary Lou Whitney's passing and what she did for the sport and the horses she owned, too, and that Nick trained, and then reliving some his own Whitney moments there with commentator who, as I mentioned, a two-time Whitney winner and almost did it again at the ripe old age of 8 years old. I bring in my next guest, Travis Stone, and you—I would think you were probably here in the audience, one of those Whitney days, maybe.
I was in the winner's circle for commentator's wire job, where he held on by a zop. I remember the one where he wired, and I talked to Gary Stevens after the race.
Yep. But
my favorite memory was Birdstone's Travers.
Yes,
I was in the winner's circle for that. Remember, it absolutely poured.
Canceled the last race, I
minutes
believe.
After the race.
Yep, and, we that showed that day. Footage. You were off camera, but we showed that footage. And you could see him hitting the far turn. There were lights on the cars. And you say, okay, it looks pretty dark. And then you see him cross the finish line, and the light at the finish line could really show you just how dark it was. So a really weird, neat,
very bizarre,
odd day at the track that day. Yeah. And like I said, I believe they ended up canceling the finale that day. Moved up post. But today, Whitney Day 2019, you are not a fan anymore. Race caller at Churchill Downs, and we always like to have you stop by. And
appreciate it. Good to be here.
Pretty sharp handicapper as well. And I wanted to bring you on because we've got a lot of races to talk about, and kind of an interesting thing they're doing here. They did this once at Belmont, a 20-cent two-day pick six. And I kind of think I had Dave O'Rourke on, and you spoke highly of him too, just not only the job he does, but the vision he kind of has. Yeah. And, you know, we got the impression we weren't really sure what was going to go on with this pick six. And lo and behold, they handled pretty darn close to $750,000. So I think it was pretty successful.
Yeah, you know, the lower denomination, it's just sort of, there's an element to it that you allow smaller bankroll players to get involved. But you also sort of normalize the market a little bit. I'm a fan of it. I mean, it's a fun wager. I like the pick six, period. I find the intellectual challenge of putting tickets together and handicapping to be one of the most fascinating aspects of this game. And it's a great weekend of racing to have around it.
Yeah, and so this is not the jackpot we're going to talk about today. It's just a two-day pick six. You can bet it right here at CapitalOTBBets.com, and it will pay out tomorrow. So keep that in mind. It's not that jackpot. We're not going to get into that. But it will pay out tomorrow. We start with the test. And, I don't think it's a superstar renewal of the test, but I do think it's a very interesting handicapping race in the dichotomy of the race, because there are two gals in here that only know what one thing to do, and that's run as fast as they can for as far as they can, and that is Serengeti Empress and Kofef. And I'm going to throw it to you, but I'll throw it to you by saying I just don't see any way, shape, or form they survive.
It's interesting. It's funny. Poor Tom Amos. I was golfing with him actually when they drew the Acorn back Belmont week, and I had gotten a text from Nosh Thompson, who works in the race in the media department here, and I said, "Hey, golfing with Tommy wants to know what he drew. It drew the rail, made for a rough rest of the round."
Right?
She actually ran better than I thought she would in that
huge
spot. Now, she rode a good rail. The rail was very good Belmont weekend.
Speed was good.
And so she had the best of it that day. But Kofefi is fast. Kofefi is sprint fast.
And she's outside.
And she's outside of her. This is a tough spot. I sort of feel bad. I think Serengeti Empress would have had a good accounting of herself from the Coaching Club American Oaks, the way that race shook out.
Sure.
You know, maybe it's interesting because she's drawn right outside of both of those, and if they knock heads early, I mean, isn't she first run with a perfect sort of outside stalking trip, the sort of trip that, not even necessarily outside, that Chad Brown horses loves, sort of settle in, come with their run late.
He won that with that trip last year with Separation of Powers.
Oh, I needed me and Mr. Fett.
Yeah. That was brutal. She ran big. I'm interested, if you're not familiar, Churchill Horse, so Kofefi, don't hold it too far against her, you know, last time, losing at 2-5, and I had Brad Cox on last week, and Brad's great, and he said it's kind of a means to an end. I got to get to the test, That was it. I thought Churchdown Cat was very interesting, too, because to me, she's very similar to Royal Charlotte in the trip she's going to pull. She might be three times the price, and as you know, but that Princess really gets all the horses last time out of Calder.
Very sharp. Maybe the wet track moved her up a little bit in that spot, but again, I think the race flow is going to sort of favor her a bit in here. She's going to be a good price. She's developing good figures. Competitive figures fits with the rest of this group, but it's interesting. We've talked about four horses, and I haven't even mentioned Bellafina.
Well, I was just going to say the elephant in the room is Bellafina, and I don't think anybody's going to question her being the best horse in here. But we're not in Arcadia, California today.
No, I sort of feel like I want to see her rebound. She was pretty bad in the Kentucky. Yeah. She didn't do much running in there. She was supposed to run better. She was very flat. This is a tough spot to come back from. 7 furlongs against some very quality fillies. I'm sort of wait and see.
Yeah, and it, you know, you don't have to be a season handicapper to see her do bad races. Now, they were Churchill Downs, they were two thirds, they were against the best of her generation, but they're also right for 17, and she hasn't done anyway.
And it's a tricky post for her. Does she want to get forward? Because she's not going to get forward with Clefefi and Surrogate Empress right around her. They're going to probably hope to settle and make one run as well. But yeah, that's a big layoff, and that was a pretty bad effort last time out. Wait and see.
Yeah, and you could find her getting completely run off her feet and wake up on the far turn 8 behind, and it's time to get run. And now we lose Thunder Snow. Sadly, as I mentioned earlier, Sully and I in the handicappers report, as we go into the Whitney, we're going to show video of the Met Mile at McKenzie. You know, McKenzie had a trip that day. There's no doubt about it. I loved Thunder Snow today. That's irrelevant at this point. We're going to bring up footage of the Met Mile with the trip McKenzie had. He's clearly the horse to beat today. I'm a little suspect of him going 9.
You know, I thought that too, but then he was right there within a nose of Giftbox in the San Diego handicap. I too thought he was more of a miler type. I think a mile's his best game. Right. I don't think he's incapable of going farther. He's the horse to beat.
McKenzie's down inside, folks. He's the two, the Pegram red and yellowish.
Yeah, the real quiet colors.
Yes, there we go.
And those types. Saddle on the rail. When the rail was good, the rail was very good Belmont weekend. And, you know, when you have a running style like McKenzie tried to utilize in this particular race, you're always going to be susceptible to some traffic trouble. And it's a big money race. It's a grade one. They're not going to give you any sort of room to do whatever you want to do. He should have won. And that doesn't, not to take anything away from Mattoli, who ran a phenomenal race, but McKenzie had legitimate trouble in here. And you're going to see that Mike Smith, you can see he's moving him left, moving him right, trying to figure out where to go. At this point, I thought he was going to win for fun if he got room. And unfortunately, the room never materializes. But credit to the other riders for not giving him the opportunity.
No,
it was good race riding. And, that was a winning move he was going to make there probably. And just all those holes closed. It's actually good riding on Thundersnow to close every option he had. I think he's the horse to beat today.
Yes.
But there's some creative ideas you could play against.
Well, let's talk about the race flow, because there's no speed in the race, confirmed speed. Mm-hmm. I've jokingly said this, but I think it's very fair. Mike Smith's never met a hot pace he doesn't want to get up and involved with. Does he take the best horse in the race and say, you know what, I'm on the best horse, just come and get me? And then, therefore, I think Junior Alvarado, I don't know what to make of Preservation today, and Don Little's going to be my next guest of Centennial Farm, and so it'll be interesting to see what Don says, and looking forward to that. Drawn outside, a horse with plenty of tactical speed. Junior Alvarado's in a great spot today. I don't know if he wants a little longer. You know,
The run to the first turn is quick here at Saratoga going 9 furlongs, but he's going to move in one gate with the scratch of Thunder Snow. See, he's got plenty of opportunity to break sharp and move over toward the inside. This horse has been awesome in his last two starts. The question is whether or not he had things go his way last time in Suburban. It was sort of the right sort of trip, right sort of setup.
Captain a little flat.
Yeah, he was a little bit. Yeah, he didn't really show up in with his A-plus game, I guess you would say. So one of the main contenders in here, and really a nice developing horse, but feels like he might be a touch on the underlay side today.
Do you have anything clever? I mean, Vino Rosso, Anthony Smith's play of the day was Vino Rosso.
I
don't know
interesting.
If he's this kind. Yoshida, I can't.
No, I think
clever here.
I'm out of Yoshida's out of lives for me. I'm sort of done with him in terms of wanting to pick him in a race like this. I think Vino Rosso is interesting.
Uh-huh.
And if I were public handicapping, I would probably put him on top.
Okay.
I think he was definitely going to be the square price with
value.
The Thunder Snow in the race.
He still has to be 4, right?
He's always been talented. He's always had ability. But he always just one of these horses that just... They were sort of trying to figure it out. Do we have to cut him back? Do we want to go long? That was a really nice win last time, and maybe that was the opportunity for him to turn the corner and become a legitimate handicap horse going forward. If you wake up tomorrow morning and Vino Rosso had won the Whitney, I would not be surprised.
I think that's fair. I think that's a good way to look at it. You wouldn't fall over. If you're not familiar with Giftbox, who Travis alluded to, That's the old Chad Brown import that's now out west and doing his thing for John Sadler, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yep,
and
Sadler, yep.
Arguably the best handicap horse out there going long. I know McKenzie clearly is a better horse, but Giftpox did beat him three back in the Sanity to Handicap, and that's why I say the mile and a quarter, I think Giftpox probably a little bit better. But he's, you know, it's a feather in Vino Rosso's hat. Today at 9, a little sharper, 9 furlongs. We'll see what happens. Today's pick 6 rounds out with the De La Rose. You saw Got Stormy, and we're going to show it here in the Distaff Turf Mile at Churchill Downs. I think she's clearly the horse to beat. With that being said, I don't think she has to win today.
No, this is a little bit of an evenly matched group, and there's actually quite a bit going on in here. We can watch Got Stormy's race.
Gary Barber, Pink Silks here.
Yep, ran really well. And obviously, set a pretty good trip just off the pace. Had the lead at mid-stretch. She's going to flatten out a little bit late. I think she's one of the horses to beat in here, but I think you have to help her if you're talking pick 6, especially because at some of the other races, you don't have to go necessarily too deep. What's weird about this race is these mile turf races on the inner turf at Saratoga are just, they're random.
Yeah.
Like, goofy stuff happens.
Yes.
You know, it's a mile and eighth dirt track, but now when you get to the inner turf, it's sort of 7 furlongs. And what people don't realize is the turns are very sharp here.
Yeah.
And trip becomes a big element in these inner turf races, and especially going a mile, which you have to get positioned because it's not a very long run to the turn.
Yeah.
It can create some chaos.
And you kind of wake up off the far turn, and you're 3 behind. You say, oh, man, I can't win.
No, yeah.
Goes quick. I thought Rock My Love was very interesting for Jonathan Thomas. They put her in a tough spot. I kind of wonder if maybe Jonathan didn't really necessarily know what he had. First off, the layoff, first time in the barn for George Strawbridge. And maybe put her up there at Woodbine going longer against two gals that, you know, Holy Helena and certainly Starship Jubilee, that love that turf course up there. She kind of fell on the lead, I said, earlier in the handicappers report, where she, you know, I don't necessarily know she wanted to be on the lead, but no one was going that day. And then all of a sudden she woke up in deep stretch. You said, my goodness, is she going to win this? I think she's very interesting on the cutback today with a lot of foundation under her.
One of my good friends that I respect as a horse player has actually taught me a lot throughout the years, loves the turf marathon cutback mm-hmm. type angle with horses that have a little bit of tactical speed. She was not fast enough last time to necessarily get the lead today.
No.
But that foundation and sort of the second off the layoff is interesting. She's one of many.
Well, anybody else that interests you?
I can't guess
what start Kapla Temptress. I don't know anybody else.
No, or... I mean, I tried to make a case for Conquest Hard Candy to be forwardly placed in a race that had some suspect speed, but ultimately she's probably a bit of a backup type play in this spot. Kapla Temptress is a nice horse. She runs a race often. Wouldn't be surprised if she wins. And, of course, we haven't even talked about the Chad Brown, Stella de Camelot, who has done very little wrong. I mean, she's, you know, she sort of fits with this group,
okay.
Right? This is not necessarily grade one caliber. She could win this race, and next thing you know, you're 6 or 7 deep in your pick 6.
Well, what about the two dirt gals in here? Divine Miss Gray and Pacific Wind are legitimate grade 2, grade 3 kind of horses on their day, and here they are trying turf, too.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean,
very
Danny Gargan's obviously having a good meet, winning the Jim Dandy the other day.
Yeah.
And Divine Miss Gray's got some tactical speed. She can be forwardly placed. That's a tough post. She's going to have to work out a trip from out there. Same with horses like Pacific Wind. They're going to have to try and find their way to the inside a little bit.
I think at least today, if you're looking to get a little funky on a 20-cent base play, that would probably be, to me, the race where you want to go a little deep.
It has a random feel.
Yeah. Okay. Tomorrow, at least on the morning line, we're not going to have a random feel with the Weya, Santa Monica, who I... clearly a B-teamer for Chad, maybe even a B-minus, C-plus.
Oh, she was on my B-team.
Yeah, well, that's a very fair statement as well. Clearly the horse to beat, but she's also evens on the morning line in the Weya, going a mile and a half with others in here that kind of seem on the come. Any thoughts there on a horse that's going to be buried on a lot of tickets?
Yeah, so it's interesting. This is the puzzle of pick 6 plays, right? I mean, she is, I think, on almost every ticket a single. If it's not, you're not singling her,
right.
You're probably singling a horse like McKenzie. I'd rather single her than McKenzie.
Sure.
But she also is sort of a closer in a 3-turn turf marathon, and
yep.
A lot of times weird things can happen. I didn't have any clever ideas, though. That's the problem. You're sort of digging around. I mean, I looked at Junta Ruler for a little bit. Big Ian Wilkes fan is a great guy. She runs her race often, but she's definitely not to the level of Santa Monica.
Not yet. But she did answer the bell in the dick at Delaware. Really kind of breakthrough performance.
She's developed really nicely over time. And, you know, I think once they finally started to stretch her out consistently, we started to see some of her best stuff. Chris Landeros, he's actually having a great meet for he was not at the top of the jockey standings at Churchill this spring. Very competitive colony there. And he's counting himself well. So she would probably be the horse I help Santa Monica with.
The one horse I tried to make a little bit, and she's not going to be on my top of the level, but I think Theodora B is somewhat interesting for Dickinson. She's got the Strawbridge homebred, the blood in there, a Dynaformer on the bottom. I love those Dynaformers running long, and the, you know, Mad Scientist knows how to get a horse to go a mile and a half. She probably gets first run. I didn't think she was terrible behind Gentle Ruler last time. She might be my funky little horse in there.
Yeah, I mean, if you're building a, you know, a couple of backup tickets, throwing her in there is not the worst idea.
The Derby is the next race, and that's the Saratoga Derby, and it's, I don't love loving the favorite, but we're going to bring up the Belmont Derby. And there's one horse out of this race that I want. He might not even be in your picture yet when you see this. I thought Rock Emperor was awesome that day. They didn't bet him in the least. He's way in the back here, the 14. You see the kind of the teal colors in the back. Henley's Joy, first run, gets the good job by Mike Maker getting this horse to go a mile and a quarter. To me, there's one horse out of that race I like. It's Rock Emperor a lot.
Yeah, this was an interesting race,
yeah,
right? I mean,
it
was a big field, and they gapped it out pretty well. The fractions felt solid, and obviously there was a pace. Two big long shots up there, ding-donging it on the... I mean, you can see the rider on the second-place horse. There's all sorts of, like, let's go. And Henley's Joy just got the jump on all the back markers, which, you know, oftentimes in turf racing is all you need to do. And Maker's so good. Probably one of the most underrated trainers in the country, in my opinion. Henley's Joy is drawn well today. He is a major player. But you're right about Rock Emperor. Way back, the race collapsed a little bit here. Like, they all came together, and he ran well. I thought Digital Age was a little bit, I was expecting a little bit more from him. I thought he ran really well in the American Turf at Churchill in a race that didn't have pace there, so he was a little bit flat that day. I think I might lean toward him just a touch, because I think Rock Emperor is a little bit more likely to take the action on the tilt board, but I think both are very much so live in this spot.
It's a race where a lot of the players are just, you know, the gang is all here, kind of. They're all right back out of that race, and you've kind of got to decipher who you want, who you don't. I agree. You probably want to be tactical, and Henley's Joy is that. And if you're a fan, you might get 8-1 again today. I don't think, or tomorrow, I should say. I don't necessarily think he made a lot of believers. I mean, so if you're coming back to him.
What's that saying? You miss the wedding, you don't want to go to the funeral. There's a little bit of that when he was 20-1 out. But the other thing is, there's a little bit of speed in here. A Threat of Blue's got some tactical speed, so he's probably going to be forward. And Flying Scotsman for that outside post, Ricardo, a very aggressive dirt rider, he's probably going to be forward. That's a long run of the first turn.
Yeah.
I think they're going to move in here, even though there's definitely only two confirmed speeds on paper. I think they're going to move a little bit. Anybody from off the pace, I think, is live.
Any opinion on the Coolmore O'Brien horses? Sometimes I feel like they're here just to be part of the party, although Mohawk looks okay. Wayne Lorden is supposedly here. Lasix, a Group 3 winner last time.
You know, this is like one of the things when playing races like this, I always seem to get annoyed about it, is everybody's like, oh, I'm going to take the Euros and throw a blanket over them without really diving deep. And I feel like these types always get over bet and they underperform relative to the rest. And, you know, maybe on the bottom part of a pick six ticket, I'd throw them in there. But I think sort of the American side of this race has a pretty good firm hold on it.
For connections that win everything everywhere, they do not win anything
so
here.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah, it's
it
really
is bizarre.
Something like, I don't know, 1 for 70 in America on dirt or something like that. It's really bizarre, and they don't really win races. We're going to bring up the Adirondack closes it all out, okay? These are the two-year-old fillies, 6.5. It's a grade two. I mentioned on the handicappers report the precociousness now of early to midsummer. Late spring, early summer is wearing off now, and you kind of have to be a racehorse here. We're going to bring up footage of Frank's Roquette, which you called the Churchill Downs, winning for Bill Mott. Bet like a good thing and one off like a better than a good thing here. Lasix goes on today as well. Any opinion on Frank's Roquette and overall in the Adirondack? This is a monster performance.
You know, I'm going to be a homer for a minute. The racing at Churchill this spring, and Ben Huffman.
And you said that.
Yeah, he's in charge of racing there. And I texted him the other day after a couple of Churchill horses won in the dirt here. And he's like, this was the strongest spring meet I've seen at Churchill. And he was not wrong. And this was one of many very impressive debut wins. This horse won like she's on to some really good things.
This is very scary.
She looks like almost like a three-year-old coming down the stretch. Professional, fast, finishing strong. In fact, Bill Mott's assistant, Kenny, I think, said she was already on the van at the eighth pole up to Saratoga for the races here this summer. I think she's way the horse to beat. She showed she can rate a little bit And on numbers, she's fastest, and I'm very excited to see her run tomorrow.
Debutante winner, Magic Dance, drawn well for Steve Asmussen. Another filly you saw a couple times at Churchill Downs. Talk a little bit about her. I always like to see these two-year-olds with a hint of a rating gear early in the season. I think that bodes well going far.
Frank's Rocket has, and Magic Dance does as well. The benefit for Magic Dance is drawn outside, so she can sort of see how things develop. And Ricardo is such a good dirt jockey. He's aggressive, but he's able to rate when he needs to rate. This is a good race tomorrow. I'm happy to see two-year-old fillies showing good form, good figures early in the season, because the two-year-old program in racing has sort of dwindled over the past decade or so, and it's good. And this feels like old-school Saratoga two-year-old stakes.
Where there's some hitters in here.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
We texted a couple weeks ago. I was all hot and bothered that another one of those Sagamore horses that got bet off the board that they couldn't lose, and then, of course, didn't lose. And you did say, and this was, like I said, maybe 2 weeks ago now, the Churchill racing, the dirt racing is just better. Is it the purses? The purses blew up this year. There's no doubt about that.
Yep.
More barns there or just...
I think there's a combination of factors. One is the turf emphasis in New York has forced a lot of the dirt trainers to send horses to Kentucky. The feeder system from Oaklawn, which has a big purse system in the winter, is a natural sort of a system that where the horses can come from Oaklawn to Churchill, Kentucky, Keeneland. And Churchill has a good dirt program. We run 80% of the races, maybe 70% of the races on dirt. And I think it's just a combination of all those factors. And it was awesome this year, and they're winning here. In fact, I will look it up, and I'll tweet it out at some point. The ROI was way positive about a week and a half ago. If you flat bet every horse that made their last dirt start at Churchill. See if it continues.
You're on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. I'm trying to get off Twitter. I'm down to 99 follows. I think I still follow you. You made the cut. I don't know.
You know what?
I wish somebody would come around and create something else. We can get off Twitter and go elsewhere. The best of people in the world are on Twitter. It's really a wonderful place.
Twitter. It's something. I'll give it that. It is good for information. I agree with that.
It comes quickly, but it's torturous.
All right, Travis Stone, I want to give you a gift certificate to Pinnell's. I know you enjoy it.
$100 gift certificate. Appreciate that.
For Pinnell's, we appreciate it. And there it is, just blocks from the track, 7 days a week, great Italian food over at Pinnell's. One of the highlights of the meet, I think. So we appreciate you stopping by. We will catch you again. Good luck for the rest
appreciate
of the meet,
it.
My friend.
See
Travis
you at the paddock bar later? Make it?
I don't know if I'm going to make it or not.
I
am in rough.
New Thunder, Snow, and World of Trouble
rough,
hanging out at
right,
today.
I'm the triple of Thunder, Snow, and World of Trouble today. And it wasn't from my own doing last night either, oddly enough. So I am a game time decision today at the track, leaning to no. I got to, might miss the PTF birthday party tonight too. Peter Thomas Fornital, happy birthday!
That's right, his birthday
to our good buddy. But that'll second guest here on Saturdays at the Spa. Nick Zito again to start it off. Travis Stone right here. When we come back, Don Little of Centennial Farms, major contender today in preservationist in the Witness. Stay tuned.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Natto with you again. A special thanks to Nick Zito, Hall of Fame trainer, stopping by, talking about the passing of Mary Lou Whitney and some great memories, great Whitney memories as well. And then Travis Stone, voice racetrack caller at Churchill Downs, giving a little pick six thoughts today and tomorrow. We've got that funky kind of 20-cent pick six. So Travis going through the races, we appreciate that. But my next guest, happy to be joined by Don Little, president and co-owner of Centennial Farms, who you yourself have some Whitney history. So Don, I appreciate you taking the time, as you mentioned, on a very busy weekend here at Saratoga.
Yeah, it's been a busy weekend, but you enjoy it while you have it. So you know, got a lot of partners in town, and looking forward to a big weekend.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about Centennial Farms partners. As you mentioned, we're going to bring up footage here back in the day, the 1994 Whitney. We'll show footage of Colonial Affair winning the Whitney back in the day, and founded by your father, Centennial Farms. A lot of success in racing.
Yeah, this was a special day, of course, and it marks the 25th anniversary when Colonial Affair won it. And you know, of course, the horse that was right on our throat was Devil Is Due. Sure. Was trained by Jimmy's dad, Alan, and it's great to be here and having Jimmy training this horse. And ironically, my father wasn't in town that day. Okay. He had a business commitment with his investment clients over in Europe, and he was in Switzerland, so he happened to watch it. And I think it was like 2 o'clock in the morning at that time. But you know, it's great being back here. And you know, hopefully we can preserve the legacy of Mary Lou Whitney with a nice performance today.
Yeah, coming up here on the outside, and a thrilling stretch run is going to ensue here.
Yeah, he was a neat horse. You know, he won the Belmont the year before, yep. And after this race, we went to the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and we won that one just by a. I think that was a nose as well, and unfortunately, he had a little hiccup before the Breeders' Cup Classic, of which he was a favorite that year.
Right.
And but he was a great horse, and you know, a lot of history was made with him, with Julie Crone being the only female woman jockey to win the Belmont.
Talk a little bit about Centennial Farms. I know you mentioned some partners, about the ownership and what you guys strive to accomplish.
Well, the goal, you know, now is to select yearlings at the select yearling sales that have a deep enough pedigree where if they are successful, right, they're very attractive to the breeding community and the stallion stations in Kentucky. And, you know, with preservationists, you could not ask for a better pedigree.
Sure.
You've got a deep, deep...
Two-turn
stallion, blue hen, King Ranch pedigree that... You know, if he goes on to win a grade one here in the future, he's going to be worth an attractive, very, very valuable stallion.
Well, we'll talk about him now. I mean, we're going to bring up his optional claiming win at Belmont in May, off a little bit of a layoff. And this is kind of the start, Don, of him really coming to hand. Here he is down inside. This kind of starts a big two-race swing for him.
Well, I actually was... A little bit earlier this morning, I was talking to Mike Penna at the Horse Racing Radio Network, and I mentioned to him that I thought, I mean, the Suburban was a phenomenal race, right, and a big number, but this race, to me, was one of his most impressive ones because, you know, going, stretching out to a mile, and I think this race was a mile and an eighth, and he'd been off for a little bit, but, you know, it was a masterful performance, and down on the inside, and you know, the track was wet that day, and it didn't seem to bother him. And you know, he's a very versatile horse. He's got tactical speed. He can rate. He can do what the jockey asks. And Junior's fitting him well and riding him real well.
Yeah, we're going to bring up the Suburban again, coming through up on the inside, and no doubt that this was a coming out performance for him. You're taking on Catholic Boy, one of the best, but the most versatile older horse in the country. Here you are down inside. It's kind of a weird race in that you lose the lead a little bit and then you come back, but you hold your position down inside. Don, talk about this as a real, like I said, coming out performance, going a mile and a quarter in a very historic race in and of itself at Belmont Park.
Yeah, I mean, he broke sharp, which he does consistently. And like I said, he's right here watching when Catholic Boy went to the lead. you know, Junior's able to relax on him and, you know, just lay off, and he's not pulling him. And, you know, he went to the lead early, then let Catholic Boy go by him, and he sat nice and gave him a little bit of breather down the backside. And you know, he's sitting there, great position, and, you know, went to the inside. And, it didn't, you know, he's just a very nice horse to ride, and he's a big, intimidating individual. And
not afraid to come up inside either, huh?
He's not shy.
Yeah.
He's a bold horse, and when he's right, he's a tough competitor.
I think of Jimmy Jerkins, and I think of patience and development. I think, would you say, you guys have had a lot of success together. He's a kind of trainer that fits your program, because your horses, we're talking about a six-year-old here with eight lifetime starts. You guys are very patient, let the horse dictate what's to be done. Talk a little bit about Jimmy and the kind of way he fits these type of horses.
Well, I think, you know, Jimmy's just a masterful horseman. I mean, one of his best horses was a great turf horse. Mm-hmm. You had, and he did it with Effinex. He did it with Shaman's Ghost.
Yeah.
I think the fact of the matter is it was an education process for some of the new partners involved. Mm-hmm. It's a small group of 12 people.
Okay.
I would say half of them are new to Centennial, and half are partners, repeat partners. But we knew right from the get-go this horse had a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. And like any athlete, you know, certain ones develop quicker than others.
Sure.
Nothing was really majorly wrong, but there was some muscle tightness here and there. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe had a little bit of foot bruising, but the deep down talent was there, and we all knew it, and knew it was worth taking our time. And you know, it's hard to say that you have a lightly raced 6-year old, but that might be in our advantage.
Right,
right.
I
now.
Agree. Your best races probably
could be ahead of us.
Are coming ahead of you. I know you know how to read a racing form. We talked. Travis and I talked a little bit. Thunder Snow is out.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard. Sad, but you know, you never it doesn't hurt your cause, but you never like to see that.
It's always nice to beat good horses.
That's
you know,
right.
To beat the best.
I said. Personally, I think you're in a good spot outside of McKenzie. Do you have a trip in mind today? Obviously, Jimmy will talk to Junior about that. But as you see this race unfolding in your mind with McKenzie to your inside, do you have an ideal scenario?
I don't think there's an ideal scenario. I mean, he's a very versatile horse. I think, you know, as I mentioned, Junior's, you know, he can do a lot with this mm-hmm. horse. And this horse will do what you ask of him. If you want to be placed forwardly, he'll do that. If you want to relax, he'll do that. I mean, I see the race somewhere that, you know, he's could be out in the three path around the first turn, right. And, you know, that's not really that much of a concern right now. You know, it might even be better for him. We know a mile and a quarter isn't a problem, and
sure.
It might just give him a time once you get around that first turn to relax a little bit. And if mm-hmm. he's laying off the lead, that's fine.
Cut back a furlong is it doesn't see it seem to be an issue.
You know, he closes pretty strong.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a nice long stretch still. So I think we're looking forward to the challenge.
It would be pretty cool. Talk about if it's fortunate enough to happen. We won't get ahead of ourselves, but winning the Whitney. 25 years later, you know, 1994, and then here again, that'd be pretty neat.
Yeah, it's funny because last year we had the 25th anniversary of course Colonial Fair
sure.
winning the Belmont, and we had Julie and a big crowd the night before the Belmont, which was special, and so this would be a special moment.
Yeah,
you know, there's a little bit of family history with Mary Lou. In fact, that one of the memories that. My father's uncle, gentleman by the name of Norman Vaughn, was very involved in the Iditarod in Alaska.
Okay.
And when Mary Lou got married, there's some pictures of her with a sled dog team. And that was my great uncle's
wow.
dogs. And so, you know, it'll be great to, again, win this race 25 years later.
Yeah, and we had Nick Zito was kind enough to stop by this morning. And of course, Nick is, like I mentioned, had a long bond with Mary Lou. But it's a great... It's a great weekend to be part of such a major race, and to be, you know, you've been in this game a long time, to what she's did for Saratoga and that kind of thing.
A true pillar of the sport and of the community, and she will be sorely missed. And, you know, hopefully some of her traditions and charitable givings and memories will continue on, which I'm sure they will.
Without a doubt. Don Little of Centennial Farms, major contender today in preservationists in the Whitney. Don, I thank you for stopping by. We have a $100 gift certificate for Jacob and Anthony's for you.
Great.
Right in town, 38 High Rock, as always. We appreciate them being a big part of Saturdays at the Spa here. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. A special thanks to Don Little, Centennial Farm, and a great well wishes to preservationists today. Stay tuned. Back with you shortly.
Thanks.
Series.
To win one of these challenge series is a way that we kind of map out our schedule throughout the year with our horses.
If you win one of the challenge races, you have a very good horse.
The King George, which is our winning ring race, provides the top middle distance horsing in Europe. We saw Highland Reel running both races.
We know when we show up at the Breeders' Cup, we've got the world to beat, not just everybody in the United States. Breeders' Cup Challenge, win and you're in.
Welcome back. Saturday's at the Spa. Brian Natto with you on an eventful morning here in Saratoga Springs. I can't thank enough the guests that come on here. I know it's not easy to get over here on a Saturday, grade one morning. Sales in town and a lot of things going on. My producer, Teresa Gennaro, just stopped by, and she deserves a huge thanks as well. So Nick Zito, Hall of Fame trainer, as I mentioned, a tight bond with Mary Lou Whitney, who passed, and we celebrate her today and this weekend, and not only what she did for racing, but just the entire city of Saratoga Springs. Nick, a special thanks for stopping by. Travis Stone, of course, voice of Churchill Downs, going over a couple days worth of racing. And then Don Little, Centennial Farms owner, and they've got preservationists with a major shot in today's grade one Whitney, 25 years after their Colonial Affair won it in 1994. And again, our sponsors, Pinnell's and Jacob and Anthony's as well for kind of being the motor of this, everybody back behind the scenes as well. So a special thanks on a big Saturday here at Saratoga. We saw rain this morning. I do not see any rain anymore. Get out here for Whitney Day, folks. It's going to be a phenomenal day. We've got the test for the gals, sprinting three-year-old fillies, and, of course, the Whitney McKenzie preservationist. Hope to see you out here. If not, see you next week. Best of luck today at Saratoga. Thank you.
You've been watching Saturdays at the Spa with Brian Natto. Saturdays at the Spa has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, New York's premier wagering site. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The new Capital mobile app. Wager anywhere, anytime. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play. And Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.